Hello and welcome to Conker's Corner. Today we have Steve Marcus, who is an investor and a chap that I met on Twitter, and we've been discussing and talking about shares over the past 2 years. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Conker's.
How are you today, mate?
I'm very well. The weather's lovely.
Good, good, good. Now, the first question I wanted to ask you, Stephen, is your background and what career you were involved in prior to investing.
Okay, well, my background is I did a degree in metallurgy in Sheffield and qualified in 1982. At the time of the steel strike, there were no jobs at all in metallurgy, and I was lucky enough to be offered a job in a small software house, which I was a founding member of. And so my career developed into software development and management consultancy, really. I worked for a number of people like Oracle, KPMG, and quite a long time working for myself.
That sounds very interesting. How far and wide did that work take you? Did you go globally with that?
No, not globally, but I got, well, I covered all of England from Aberdeen to Southampton. So quite far enough.
Okay. So you've got quite a wide and varied tech background then, I take it.
Yes, and also, which I think is particularly relevant to investing, is a background in lots of different sorts of businesses. You know, one of my key strengths really is being able to go into a business, understand very quickly what they're doing, and try and put it back together again in a better way. And you know, the IT part is almost secondary to that. But you know, it comes in when you're constructing systems to help support that business redesign.
Excellent. So almost like a restructuring specialist, turnaround specialist then?
Yeah, I mean, I would call it process redevelopment.
Process redevelopment.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, if you don't mind, could you just tell me what age range you're in?
I usually say late 20s, but I am 26.
As in the late 20s in business, you mean?
No, I am 56.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Late 20s.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So how long have you been investing or trading in stocks and shares, Stephen?
I was thinking about this last night when you sent me these points. I think yeah. I started round about 1996, which was when I started earning enough money to have any spare.
Right.
So, but in terms of actual proper investing, you know, by myself, for myself,
yes.
I would say probably 1999, 98.
Okay. So just as the tech boom was booming and busting.
Yes, and unfortunately I had no idea what I was doing. So I made a huge amount of money in the tech boom and then promptly lost it all straight afterwards.
As so many of us did during that time as well.
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to do that again.
None of us intend to do that again, Steve. There's a massive learning curve, yes. Okay, so what attracted you to the investing arena at the time, other than the fact you had a bit of spare cash to play with?
As I said, I had a bit of spare cash to play with, and so I engaged a financial advisor.
Right, okay.
And most of the things put me into it, he did do me one very good favour. He opened my eyes to FTSE 100 trackers,
right.
Low cost. And the first thing he put us into was a Legal & General FTSE 100 tracker, which I kept from 1996 until probably 2007.
Right, okay.
By which time it was worth a hell of a lot more than I put into it. And it does, you know, really show the benefits of compounding.
Yes.
I think I put 6,000 or possibly 9,000 pounds into it.
Yeah.
But when I sold it 20 years later, it was worth just over 40.
That's fantastic. I mean, that sits with my my next question, actually, about remembering your first investment purchase that you made. That's a really good example, that is.
That is my first investment purchase.
Yeah.
But he went from, you know, doing the very best that he could for me.
Yeah.
He always did the best for me. I have nothing against my financial advisor. I'd count him as a friend. But,
yeah.
Subsequent to that, he started putting me into more and different funds.
Okay.
And these funds then started losing money.
Right.
I thought, well, I'm sure I could probably do better than that.
Yes,
but
yeah.
I resolved to try, and so I did.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that actually moves on to the story of my first investment. which subsequent to the Legal & General FTSE 100 tracker, I thought, well, I'm going to start selecting my own shares. And I'm going to invest directly. So I opened a Charles Schwab account, as it was.
Yeah.
And I bought some shares in Torex. I don't know if you remember Torex.
I remember Torex, the tech company, yes.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Tech support, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I bought some shares in Torex, and then suddenly they started going up. I thought, oh, this is very exciting. And
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And then I became Torex's technical director.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Well, it wasn't really, because it didn't go well.
Oh.
I was Torex's technical director for 6 months.
Right.
This was shortly after the year 2000. And then I discovered that the chairman and the chief exec were not especially nice people.
Okay.
And we disagreed on most things. So I left.
Okay, okay.
And that, of course, you'll be aware that Torex came to a fairly ignominious end.
They did so, yes.
Yes, and in fact, the chairman and chief exec spent some time in prison.
Yes, I remember that story, yes.
All their misdemeanors. So, yeah, it was a salutary experience. But that was my first proper share.
Okay. I mean, that's a fantastic story. I'm not sure I've heard that one before, regarding someone actually going into the firm as well.
Yeah.
I was going to ask before you went on to the Torex bit as to how you, I mean, obviously you've got the skills or the tech knowledge and all the rest of it, but a lot of people read certain books and do lots of research regarding stocks. Is there any particular books that you read that made you familiarise yourself with reading into companies?
Well, certainly not at the time. I don't think I have ever read an investment book.
Right, okay.
I used to use... I still do, actually. I use Investors Chronicle, I subscribe to shares, I use Twitter, I use, you know, ADFFN, Fool, all sorts of things.
Okay.
But at the time, I knew nothing at all about shares.
Right.
I knew nothing about valuations. I knew about accounts because, you know, some of my background was in finance systems.
Yes.
But I knew nothing about selection of shares. And indeed, it showed in the early days.
Right.
You know, it was a bit of a scattergun approach. I had a bias towards tech shares because that was my background.
Of course.
And as you said, that was the time when tech shares started coming of age and, and then rapidly went beyond that.
Yes, they did. Overvaluation.
So I immediately thought I was a genius.
as we all did, yes.
As we all did. And then quickly discovered that, unfortunately, I wasn't. So, you know, that was a great learning experience because, in fact, it made me think, you know, well, why have I gone wrong? And what do I need to do to select companies that won't disappear?
Indeed. It's that time where we have to reflect and then start to do a lot more learning, isn't it, and grow.
Yeah, that's right. And I think in the early days, the Motley Fool was very, very useful to me.
Yeah.
It unfortunately it's not the same beast that it used to be.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of very good people, including people like Paul Scott and David Stretter and people like that who still do occasionally post there, but were very active there.
Right, okay.
In the early days. And I learned a lot from people like them, and lots of other people too. And just, you know, generally reading bulletin boards and magazines and so on and so forth. But like I say, I've never actually read an investment book, and I probably never will.
Nothing wrong with that, as long as your research is has improved and improved, and your returns have got better and better over the years.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, really.
Well,
Steve, go on.
I'm happy with you know, my methods, and so I stick with them.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I mentor several people via DMs and emails and so on and so forth, and I keep reiterating to them the importance of research and doing your own research and having your own strategy and methodology. You know, not to piggyback on anyone else's idea. Just thoroughly research and be happy. But some of them are so reluctant to do it because it slows them down, and they want to be on every single idea, and not all ideas are great.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, and I think you have to develop your own style as well.
Yeah.
And you know, different people's styles will be different because they have different strengths and weaknesses. And that's I stick to my style because it works for me, and it took me a while to find it.
Yeah, it invariably does. So, Stephen, with saying that then, as an investor, how would you describe yourself? Are you a low risk, cautious, long term? How would you describe your investment strategy?
I would describe myself as a long-term investor with a smattering of risk. Yeah, I mean, I most of my holdings I will hold for as long as possible, if not ever, provided the investment story stays the same. If the news is still good or not too bad, then I will continue holding, and I will, I take dividends and I reinvest them automatically.
So
And it has proven very, very effective.
that's a very good
Over the years.
compounding strategy using the, as they call it, buffetology. Is that the right
Yeah,
pronunciation?
I would always encourage people to reinvest dividends. It really does. Compounding is the seventh, eighth wonder of the world,
Agreed.
and it really works. You do start to get to some life-changing amounts of money. But having said that, I like small cap shares as well. I built up some large holdings in small cap shares. I've done that gradually, and over a long period of time. But I will continue to invest in small caps because I like that arena. Some of it's risky, but I just start small and I'll build the investment up as I go along. So that's what I mean by risk, if you like. I will always build a holding. I will never put, a substantial chunk of, well, it depends what you mean by substantial, obviously, but I will never put, my ultimate position size, let's say, into a stock straight away. I would probably put maybe, probably maximum of a quarter into a stock, and I'll build it gradually.
I have a very similar strategy to that actually. So looking at your portfolio, Stephen, as a 100% regarding the shares, funds, investments that you've got, what percentage would you say are in large caps, small caps, funds, etc.? How would you break that down?
Well, I don't have any funds. All my investments are direct held shares. I have some fixed income, which is probably about 12 to 15% of the overall portfolio. Then large caps, probably maybe 15%, then mid caps, FTSE 250 type, FTSE 350 stuff. Probably I'm gonna have to try and make sure this adds up to 100 now,
No, you don't have to. It's just
aren't I?
approximations. That's fine, Stephen.
Probably 50% in the mid caps, and then the rest small cap, roughly.
No, that's fine. Do you have a sector preference? I mean, you've touched on that your background is turnaround story, small caps, and tech, but do you have a preference, a sector preference at all?
Not particularly. I like food. So I've got quite a large holding in Cranswick, Dairy Crest. Food is something we're always going to need.
Yes, of course.
I like pubs, so I've got a decent holding in Greene King and Marston's. Support services, so companies like Carillion, Kier, Lakehouse, which I see has taken another dive today. I don't buy gambling shares. I don't do very much retail, although, as you know, I bought N Brown recently.
Yes, I spotted that a few weeks ago, yes.
And I've also been buying Next over the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, because I mean, I think they have always underestimated and prepared investors for the worst and then exceeded those expectations. And the last 3 months or so, or the last two or three data that they've put out there has actually disappointed investors. So they've come a long way from nearly £80 a share to, I think it was
I
sub
think
50 yesterday, weren't
Well, they
they?
started off today at £49, so they've actually gone up on the back of that slightly, not fantastic update. So I'm beginning to think the next may have turned the corner.
But
We shall
it's a quality stock.
see. It
It's
is a
done
quality
very
stock.
well very well for investors over the last 25 years. I mean, I live, as you know, in the Leicestershire area, and there's people I know that had jobs there for many a year and had stock there at 10 pence and 50 pence and all manner of things.
Is it near Colville?
It's actually in Narborough, little village called Narborough.
Yeah,
it's the HQ. Leicestershire,
Yes, I do wish I bought Next when they were £7 or so.
Yeah.
You know, 8 or 9 years ago.
I think so many people have always deemed Next to be overvalued, you see. That's the thing. They've been saying it since, 2001, 5, 10, it's overvalued, overvalued, and just kept stretching and stretching and stretching.
Quite a lot of the time it was.
yeah. So they've done very, very well for investors.
Yeah.
Okay, so we spoke earlier about, you don't really read the books, you do your own research and all the rest of it via bulletin boards and various magazines, etc. What are your essential criteria, Stephen, when researching companies, and what do you look for and what pushes you over that buy button?
Normally I will get an idea from somewhere. Someone will either mention it to me, or I'll read the Investors Chronicle, or I'll get Small Company Share Watch or something.
Yeah.
And the company will pop up and I think, oh, well, maybe that's interesting. And I'll put it on a watch list.
Okay.
And I'll probably sit there and watch it for maybe 3 months. It's pretty rare that I actually buy anything straight away. So I will sit and watch it. I'd like to understand how a company trades roughly, the ranges. I'd just like to know as much as possible about a company.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I look for cash generation. I look ideally for low debt or net cash.
Yeah.
I like a low valuation. I like a decent dividend. And I like a proper business. I don't like marketing companies. I don't buy marketing companies because I think they're crap.
Okay.
Because it's business that can just evaporate.
Would you class WPP as a marketing company then, Stephen?
Do I use a marketing company?
No. Would you class WPP as a marketing company?
Well,
biggest
one
we've got.
I was just going to say, of course, that means WPP. Yeah. Well, there's always the exception, isn't there?
Of course.
But given that most of my interests lie in the smaller
area. Yeah.
I would never buy a small cap
marketing company,
because I just think, it's, I mean, yes, it is a real business, but it's, it can evaporate very quickly.
Yeah.
So I like a business that is a proper business. I like people that make things. I like people that build things,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that,
So you're looking is it the sense of looking for a competitive moat that can't be just copied, willy-nilly?
To an extent.
Yeah.
Although, there are plenty of house builders around.
Of course.
But, I like to look for something that's slightly unique, if possible, that differentiates it from its peers.
Yeah.
And I also very much like turnaround stories.
Yes, so, I do. I do too, yeah.
People like, that's what attracted me to N Brown, for instance, because it's a company in transition.
Yeah.
It's moving from its main brands to a mail order to online, and I think that's quite interesting, so we shall see how it goes. And often I bought a small holding in Enbound so that it keeps my interest up, and I will keep watching that and see how it goes.
Aren't they also trying to grow in the US in America?
That's right. Well, I think they just attained profitability in the US.
Right, okay.
So that was another prod for me to buy, really.
Okay.
There are lots of things not to like about N Brown too.
Yes.
Just in case anyone listening to this is tempted. I like turnaround stories. Stadium, for instance, was a turnaround story which is progressing quite well.
Yeah.
They've gone from being a company really that just struggled along making bits of plastic and small, fairly mundane bits of electronic gear to a much more interesting company with wireless stuff.
Yeah.
And that's going well. Renew Holdings is another one, where it's a company that's been, you know, in turnaround for a long time, and it has pretty much achieved its turnaround now, I would say. But it's continuing to grow, it's continuing to expand into related areas.
So I
really like turnarounds, because I think if you can time it right, then there's the possibility for extremely good gains to be made.
It's finding those catalysts, isn't it, in not necessarily a short time frame, but even if it's over the case of most turnarounds take about 2 or 3 years, but if you can get there within the first, you know, 6 to 12 months, then you get the catalyst kicking in, and then sometimes you just get a nice little gradual spike rather than a spike overnight. So that is nice,
that's why I like them.
Okay. So I think you might have touched on this already, but I will ask it again, Stephen. What has been your greatest lesson that you've attained since you started investing?
Well, apart from doing the research properly, patience.
Brilliant.
Don't chase shares. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything in a hurry. Ideally, don't do anything.
Sit, wait, watch, learn. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I will never, well, hardly ever do anything, impetuously. Mm-hmm. Certainly when it comes to investment.
Yeah. No. I'm ex-forces, Stephen. So we have the 5 P's.
Right.
In the forces, which is prior preparation prevents poor performance, or 6 P's if you want to add the other one in as well.
Right.
So yeah, got to have patience. Yeah. Always be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. You know, don't chase after things, because like as not, they'll come back down to earth. Mm-hmm. They'll present you with another opportunity. Just wait and watch.
Okay. So what has been your wisest investment to date? Was it the first one when you left the tracker fund for nearly 20 years?
No, that was rubbish. The tracker fund was a very wise investment.
Yeah.
It was a very good thing. I credit my financial advisor with that one, because he suggested it to us. But okay,
your wisest one then?
I'm trying to think. I've done quite well, actually, because I invested quite heavily around about the time of the financial crisis.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of good stuff going cheap. Mm. Renew Holdings has been very good for me. I bought most of my holding probably between 35p and 70p. And you probably know that they're about 380-odd at the moment.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So they've done very well. And
very good contrary investing there, Stephen.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I've top-sliced quite, a number of times, and the holding keeps growing, which, it really does keep on giving.
Yeah.
Cape was another very good one for me. I bought Cape, I think, in the depths of the crisis twice, once at 20p and once at something like 17.5p.
Yeah.
And I was terrified both times. But Cape, I think, went to about £6.
Yeah.
It's back, £2.30-odd at the moment. But, I actually sold that quite early on, because at the time, I wasn't convinced that we had recovered from the crisis. So I think I bought them maybe in December 2008. I probably sold them by April or May. But they were still a 10-bagger for me.
That's fantastic. Really well done there.
Yeah, and there's quite a few, XP Power, that was another very good buy, which has delivered in spades and still does. Cranswick even, which is a very steady performer, but I bought Cranswick first at £3.
Right, that's done very well, yeah.
It's 23 or so now, so there's quite a few. And
Some very shrewd calls there, Stephen, by the sounds of it.
Well, you just need to see the opportunities.
And yes.
Because, the financial crisis might have been pretty rubbish for a lot of people, but it was pretty good if you're an investor.
Yeah,
it
created lots of opportunities for contrarians and deep value investors, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, with saying all of that, and given what you've learned over the last 20-plus years of investing, if there's one thing you could change with regards to the investing landscape, what would it be?
I think it would probably be to put private investors on a more even keel with institutional ones. We don't get access to the same level of broker information.
Yeah.
we don't get access to placings, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do if you're big enough and know the right people, but it's difficult.
If you're a high net worth individual, I mean, that's actually something that LSE Share Talk and Mark of ShareSog, there's quite a few different entities that are trying to sort that out and make that much better for private individuals. And we're hoping over the next couple of years that we're going to actually engender some change at the London Stock Exchange, and the other parties.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got one final question, then you can add in or we can continue speaking about other things if you want to. If you were starting out today in investing, what would you do that you had not considered or were unable to do back in 1998?
Proper research.
Right, okay.
Quite simply.
Simply,
You know, I bought them because the name sounded nice. Now, I mean, it wasn't quite
right,
that.
Okay.
But, you know, I bought them because they've been tipped, perhaps.
Yes.
And I didn't understand really what I was buying, and I should have done.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that that does make a big difference.
Yeah. Well, that's the story of many novice investors, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have been when I first started out. I looked at the magazines. You know, I read the Financial Times the first time. I was like, wow, what is this holy grail? All the information is there for me. But it's not that simple.
No.
You have to look and read between the lines.
Well, and that's it. It's the softer stuff as well. You know, often the numbers might make sense, but, you know, it's whether you actually like the feel of a company.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, we've discussed on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, what's that Internet of Things company? It begins with the T.
Tell it. Yeah.
You know, there's just something that doesn't feel quite right about that company. I don't know what it is, but it's so far, you know, despite the valuation and the numbers looking reasonable, I've not been able to bring myself to buy any.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really, because I've held that for many years now, down towards, you know, 50, 60, 70p and all that sort of area.
Yeah.
And I love the concept of the Internet of Things being everywhere and being in everything over the next 5, 10, 15 years. And that's why I've held and held and held it. And I believe in the company, I believe in the management. However, there's lots of questions being asked here, then everywhere about the accounts and so on and so forth. And I'm hoping, and I have been hoping for the last, since September when the price started to decline, that the management would address that. And they haven't done so, even though personally I've been prodding and probing them to do so. So I'm hoping that with the next set of numbers they can put that to bed, but we'll have to wait and see on that one, unfortunately.
That's what I mean, really, but you know, it's interesting.
We will see. I'm a true believer in the Internet of Things, as I said, Stephen. I'm hoping that lots of other individuals will be able to read into that and investigate that sort of arena a bit more. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the LSE Share Talk listeners and viewers today about your strategy, ideas, style, or anything I've missed that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I'd just stress, you know, I look for reasonably priced shares that are growing, that pay a dividend, and I reinvest those dividends as much as I can. Obviously, if you need to take an income from it, then take an income. But if you don't need to, reinvest those dividends because it will pay you.
Yeah.
And that's probably it, really.
Okay.
That's about the extent of any wisdom I might possess.
No, it's been fantastic speaking with you directly, Stephen. I'm glad that we've moved from just speaking via direct messages and Twitter.
More than 40 characters.
Yes, indeed. Thank you ever so much for taking part in Conquest Corner today, and I look forward to speaking to you further. And hopefully next year we'll see you at one of the shows as well.
I will make the effort to get there. Not because I actually like the companies that are presenting there. In general, I don't.
Right.
You know, I don't go for resource companies, I'm afraid. Right. That's the other sort of thing I don't invest in, by the way.
Okie dokie.
Crappy little resource companies.
Okay.
It's so easy to lose money there. I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
That and biotech.
That and what? Sorry, biotech.
Biotech. Yeah.
Right. I quite like biotech though. I've done well with Sky Pharma and Vectura. And obviously I've held AstraZeneca since, the
Yeah,
90s.
that's not biotech, though, is it?
Yeah,
That's
so
pharma.
biotech, pharma, all those sort of arenas.
Yeah, I've nothing against pharma,
Right,
but just
okay.
the sort of biotech development stuff, you can lose a lot of money on them.
Yeah, it can
Drug
be a.
development is very, very expensive
Yes,
and very,
exactly.
very hit and miss.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like mining.
Yes, very true, very true.
So, apart from once done above ground. But yeah, that's probably about the sum total of everything I've got to offer.
No, that's fantastic. Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I
Okay.
really, really appreciate that and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yeah, great.
All right. Thank
Nice
you,
to talk
mate.
to you, Conkers. Bye then.
Take care. Bye-bye for
Thank you.
now.
Bye.
Bye.